Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So thank you all for coming, and welcome to one of the last classes of the year. It's Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, double Parsha, two short ones, 40 verses and 30 verses. It is also a weird drawing near to the conclusion of our study this year that has paralleled the weekly Parshas, and that's the study of Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the just. As you approach any ending like this, there's a sense of building and of crescendo and climax, both in terms of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is now speaking in great crescendos, loud, booming, central messages, driving home the point. You know, you Jewish people are going on to the new life in the land. I'm not going to be with you, but this is what Hashem has charged you. On this week's Parsha, we have the famous Parsha of Teshuvah, a return to Hashem. And after predicting all of the different stages and all the different events and calamities that would befall the Jewish people in the likely event that they would stray throughout the history, there will be a return, there will be a consideration of why has all this happened, and a return to God. That's in this week's Parsha. A very resounding, strong message. And also, as we get to the close of Mesilas Yesharim, I have particularly been extremely impressed when I hear very clearly and realize that the path of the just, which is the path of the Jew who wishes to really make Torah his occupation, his goal, there is a very particular, and a very single, and a very specific goal at the end of it, which I guess I didn't appreciate, because we think of Judaism as a lot of things to do. But really, this is the second to last attribute. Fear of sin, yiras hachet. If I could encapsulate it in my own words, the goal is for an individual to know and be aware of the fact that God's presence fills the world, and that indeed God sees all, knows all, including he, this little man himself, and everything in his thoughts, and that brings that person to a sense of awe, to a sense of awareness of God's presence, and he says to himself, how could I ever do anything against his will? And that pretty much allows that person to walk continuously and constantly in the ways of Hashem. That's the goal, to reach that level of awareness. When I thought about that, I said, you mean that's what this is all about? To know that there's a God who's watching me? That's too simple. It reminds me of a Hasidic story. There was a man, a rabbi from the great Litvish tradition, that means the students of the yeshivos that spend much time, much energy poring over the intricate pages of Talmud and Jewish law, a very, very painstaking process of learning. And his son says, Tati, I want to become a chassid. I want to go to one of the Hasidic yeshivas. I want to become a chassid. I don't mean a chassid in the Mesilas Yesharim sense, but in the colloquial sense. And that's kind of like a red flag to a Litvak. You want to be a what? You want to be a chassid? So, but the son was determined, and his father said, well, okay, that's what you wish. It's better than other things. So the son goes, and he's away for one whole term, several months. He comes back, and he says to his father, I've been there. And his father says to him, so what did you learn? He says, Father, I know that there's a God in the world. And his father said, what? I taught you that when you were 3 years old. And he says, yes, Father. You taught it to me. But now I know it. Mm. But anyway, it just seems like it's so simple. That's what it's all about. Just, why don't you just forget about all the other pages and just get to the point. You're standing before God. Such a simple thing. And in fact, this idea is reinforced time and time again throughout the teachings of our sages. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, starts off, Shivisi, I'm not sure if it's the Rav Yosef Karo, the primary author, or if it's the secondary author of Moshe Israelis. I forgot to look it up. But there's it's a famous verse from Tehillim. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place God before me always. That means I'm always aware that God is, that I'm before God. Sounds so poetic, so beautiful, but let's get practical here. What does the Jewish law say? Wash our hands in the morning, say this prayer, say that blessing, etc. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. And the Vilna Gaon, I heard this many times from one of my Rabbeim, my dear Rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon comments on that phrase, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. The Vilna Gaon says, and this was the greatness of our patriarchs, that they reached this level. The greatness of Abraham was that he knew he was standing before God. That's it. Same kind of idea, same kind of this puzzling dichotomy. You mean it takes so much greatness just to know that you're standing before God? Everyone knows you're standing before God. That's obvious. It's like the father said to the son, you knew that there was a God. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in his commentary to Chumash, in the Parsha of Bo, when the Jewish people are coming out of Egypt and beholding all the miracles, he says, again, I'm not quoting his exact wording, he says, the purpose of life is to know and to say to God, we are your creatures. What? That's it? So I was really astounded. When we're getting to the end of Mesilas Yesharim, I mean, we have had chapters in this book which has taken us through the ringer in terms of describing all of the various laws and the details and theft, how many different kinds of theft there are, and how many different kinds of lashon hara there are, and how many different kinds of immodesty there is. And that's filled with volumes of details, and this is just a sampling. And then you get to the end, and the goal of it all is just to know that you're standing before God. It kind of boggles the mind. Now, I must say, since we are learning the Parsha, that the same dichotomy between the seemingly very simple goal but the voluminous path can also be seen, reflected in the Parsha. After the Parsha of Teshuvah that I just referred to, chapter 30, in verse 11, it says, famous words, I think we quoted this last year, Ki ha-mitzvah zos, verse 11 to chapter 30, Ki ha-mitzvah zos asher anochi mitzavcho hayom lo niflesi mimcho v'lo recho kahi. For this commandment that I command you today, it is not hidden from you, and it is not distant. Continues, it is not in heaven for you to say who can ascend to the heaven for us and take it for us so that we can listen to it and perform it. Nor is it across the sea, etc. Rather, the matter is very near to you. What's the question? What matter? What matter? So you have two opinions. Think Ramban, Nachmanides says, he refers to the preceding reference, Teshuvah, returning to God. What it said in the last paragraph, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, return to God, Shamata V'kolo, and listen to His voice. A very spiritual, theologic proposal, proposition. That is easy. And Rashi says, it refers to studying the Torah. The Torah Shebal Peh. The oral law. Yes, volumes upon volumes. That's what's easy. Well, which one is it? Is it returning to God? Is it studying Torah? Personally, I've always been baffled. As a young person, study this, go to yeshiva, spend time studying a tractate, has nothing at all to do with God, has to do with cows and oxen goring each other. Study the laws of Shabbos, study the laws of Kashrus. You feel like you're in a science laboratory. And yet then there's this simple message. You hear a rabbi's sermon and he's talking about God and he's talking about simplicity and just standing before God, returning to God. Which one is it? Is Judaism simple or is Judaism complex? Which one is it? So, I have my own crescendo, and I want to address this question. How are we going to do that? I was inspired yesterday from my colleague, Rabbi David Silverman. I don't know if any of you were at the networking event, sixth networking event at B'nai Torah. Rabbi Silverman was our guest speaker. And his talk had to do with two things which he's very good at, juggling and balancing. He can juggle balls, he can juggle pins. He's an acrobat of sorts. He studied once when he was a teenager. He told about it. He went to a school that teaches you how to be in a circus. And he used these mundane tools and mundane concepts. He actually brought balls with him. He had a unicycle there on the stage. He balanced it on his chin. He did a pantomime of a tightrope walker. He used these fun, delightful props to give a message of what it means to learn how to balance, what it means to juggle different aspects of life and prioritize, and how to kind of narrow things down to three. He juggled three balls. He spoke about the three pillars of the world, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. And a very strong message, very, very potent, and very captivating for the audience. So he inspired me. So I'm going to use a mashal, an analogy, in my own life. And, you know, we were talking about this morning, there's a fear in using analogies. Rabbi Silverman said that a man came over excitedly after his talk, and he said, "Rabbi, have you ever read such and such a book? It's all about being in the circus. You need to read that book." And Rabbi Silverman saying to himself, "You know, I didn't come here to talk about the circus. I came here to talk about life, and this guy thinks I'm talking about the circus." Another person came over and says, handed him a business card, and I have a place where we take children and we teach them acrobatics and balancing. And I want you to have this, Rabbi. You'd find this meaningful. Bring your family. Bring the other rabbis of the kollel." So, like. So when you use a mashal, when you use an analogy, there's a danger and there's a fear that the nimshal, the message, that which is analogous to, is going to be lost for the mashal. Be that as it may, if you do get it and you do look for the nimshal, it's powerful. So I'm going to present to you a mashal of something that I am somewhat familiar with in my own life, and that is playing the piano.
Did you bring it with you?
Didn't bring it. Too big. Wouldn't fit in the door.
There's one upstairs.
And I'll preface my mashal by a little bit of a little incident, that little anecdote that occurred when I was 18. I was in had just gone to Israel to study, and I was getting more into my studies, and my parents came to visit. We were in a yeshiva down in the Negev, in the south of Israel, in the Tivot, near not too far from where was it?
Gaza.
And my parents came and visited me, and the thing that was on their mind during this time was how I had forsaken the piano, which I had studied and played through high school. So we meet my Rebbe, and he only spoke Hebrew or Yiddish, but he invited us into his home. And my father made a comment about how my son, you know, used to play the piano, he's very good, and he's not playing the piano now. And the rabbi said, Torah is the best music. And you can imagine, you've had kids. My father didn't take to that very well. And he has never forgotten that statement. It irked him, and he didn't appreciate it. But I have been listening and turning that statement over and over in my mind as I continued to study Torah, and not so much music until recently, but I'm thinking to myself, was that just a flippant comment of my Rebbe? Was he brushing my parents off? Was he making light of music? Or is it true? Is Torah really like music? All right, so here goes. Let me try to explain what it's like learning a piece of music. First of all, everyone knows, if you want to learn an instrument, you have to play. You got to play. That means you have to go to your lessons. And you have to practice. And if you don't play, there's no way you're going to learn it. That's for sure. Nobody has learned how to play an instrument without playing. Okay. When you play, you have to follow notes. You have to read the music, and you have to find the note on the instrument. And if you don't play the note that's written on the page, it's not going to sound like the music it's supposed to sound like. You need a lot of fortitude to be precise with the music. It's very easy to be lazy and just kind of play most of the notes right. But if you're not vigilant, if you don't pay attention, and you're lazy, you won't be playing the music correctly. Even if you are good at reading and playing, there's always mistakes. There's always things that you overlook. I still, many of you know, I'm presently doing a little bit of piano. I do take a lesson from now and then, and the teacher still catches me on wrong notes that I didn't realize I was making. And he says, oh, that's supposed to be a sharp, that's supposed to be a flat. Wrong octave. Oh, and by the way, it's very important to have a teacher. The teacher is what gets you to move, gets you to practice, scares you, and teaches you. Okay. So really, when you're a kid, you're just trying, if you're motivated, you're going to try to play all the right notes. Hopefully you will. What I didn't appreciate so much when I was younger, although the teacher was constantly talking about it, was the musical expression. Because playing an instrument is not just a technical activity. Even if you get all the notes right, it can sound stiff, it can sound unmusical, and that's really not what the composer had in mind. The composer had in mind something that sounds beautiful, has a certain expression, paints certain moods and pictures, images. And that's what a musician is. Just to be a technician is, you need it, but that's not what makes you into a musician. Also, a serious student realizes that if you are going to become good at this and really become a musician, you have to make certain decisions. You have to prioritize. You can't be a musician and an athlete and a PhD student, right? And a doctor, you know, and a carpenter. You have to make certain decisions, which is why I didn't go into music more seriously, because I basically decided that I didn't want to do this all the time. And I looked at people that were in the music field, and that's basically what they did. They practiced these, you know, the 8 hours a day was like what you heard. A musician has to practice at least 8 hours a day. There's a young man who was giving a concert on Sunday at AA, Avat Achim, Eric Zuber. Eric Zuber is a highly talented 24-year-old pianist who comes to us from the Peabody Conservatory of Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore. You can admire his accomplishments as shown on his profile overleaf. You can read a whole page. I didn't want to be him. I'm sure that he practices piano at least 8 hours a day. Okay? I'd love to go and hear him. But I decided not to be Eric Zuber. Dad, I hope you're not upset with me. Anyway, so there is the idea of making priorities and just ruling certain things out. Now, another important part of music is that a piece is extremely complicated, and every measure has its own arrangements, its own chords, its own fingering, and then you have then this measure, then the next measure, putting that together, and then the whole line. No line is like the one before it. Every line is different. And then you have, if it's a longer piece, you're going to have different sections. And the sections are going to have different moods, different themes. You could have one section which is fast and one section which is slow. One can be a variation on the others. A piece of music is extremely complex. And every piece needs to be worked on and polished. But you're not finished with the piece until you've done all of it. Even though every section of that piece is somewhat of a accomplishment in and of itself, it's not the whole piece until you've gone from the beginning to the end. Now, a very, very enjoyable part of music is listening to maestros play. Now, some people, that's what they do. They listen to music, they're music appreciators, and they love listening to the music, and it gives them a tremendous sense of pleasure. And if you're learning to play that piece yourself, and you have a chance to watch or listen to somebody else playing it, it is going to be extremely, extremely revealing. It's going to give you a sense of what that piece is supposed to sound like, and next time when you sit down, it's going to enhance the way that you play, because you have seen how it's supposed to sound like by a maestro. But it's just because you've heard it, it doesn't mean that you're doing it. You can't do it yourself. You come back and you're still making those mistakes, and you still lack that musicality. But there's something very, very brilliant and enhancing about listening to the way that piece is played. Only at the end of this whole process, with all of the practicing, the technical parts, the musical parts, the coaching, listening to the teacher, a lot of humility, listening to other people play it, only then can you finish a piece of music. And there's nothing like that. There is nothing like that. This was why you did it. You only did all those steps so that you could, in the end, play the piece of music. If you never would have played the piece of music, in a sense, you would have been unfulfilled. It would have kind of been wasting the time. Because we're practicing, we're taking lessons for a purpose. Okay, I'm starting to bore everyone with my mashal. See, this is a good group. They don't want to hear the mashal. They want to hear the nimshal. What do we learn from this? So, my friends, Mesilas Yesharim is the magnum opus, the score of the purpose of a Jew's life, to serve Hashem completely. This is the score. What is the goal? Very, very, very simple. To know that God is and exists and sees and knows and is watching you. Very, very simple. It's as simple as turning on a CD and listening to a symphony. It's that simple. It really is. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. I love it. But our job as a Jew is not to listen to the music. Our job is to play the music. Our job is to play the music. If you want to play the music, you will eventually get to that beautiful sound at the end. But turn off the CD and sit down and practice your scales. Da re mi fa sol la ti do sa na 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 na. Again. Na 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 na. I want to play Beethoven's Fifth. No, 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 no. Back to the scales. I don't feel like practicing now. Can I do it tomorrow? Why didn't you practice this week? You see? You got to go back to the beginning. You've got to study Torah. Forget about the goal right now. Study Torah. Open up the Torah. Read this page. Read the next page. Understand it. I don't understand it. I can't read. I don't know Hebrew. Okay, read English. Take a Hebrew lesson. Learn how to read the words. Okay. It says here you're supposed to do a mitzvah. I don't know how to do the mitzvah. Okay, let's get a nice art scroll. Has a great book. Take a mitzvah. Read the art scroll book. It'll give you the background. It'll give you some of the points. Not to do too much at once. Do a mitzvah. Every step of Mesilas Yesharim is like a piano lesson. Torah is the practicing, reading, studying. Zehirus, playing the right notes. Zrizus, getting the energy to put forth the effort to do it. Nikius, you're playing a sharp when it's supposed to be a flat. Right? You skipped a note over there. I didn't know I was. That's fine. But you got to follow the music. That's why I'm here. I'm your teacher. I'm going to tell you which notes you skip. Nikius, cleanliness. You're really getting to be good. Technically, you're doing all the mitzvahs. Now, make music out of it. But you have to become a little more serious. You have to put more time into this. I don't know if you can have all of the hobbies that you want to have and still make time for Torah. You have to spend more time. Abstinence. I can't do everything. Hasidus. Start making it sound like there's something godly here. Are you becoming a more musical person? Are you becoming a more godly person? Are your midos, are your character traits starting to shine up a bit? Removing some of the negative traits, the attitudes, and the selfishness. Start to make some music. Hasidus. Every now and then. Because the goal is to know God. Knowing God is as simple and as difficult as playing that piece. It's simple if you turn on the CD. It's very difficult if you're trying to play it yourself. You can't play it yourself unless you practice. Now, once in a while, we get to go to a concert. And that's a great experience, and it really helps. It's not, it doesn't take the place of going through and practicing, but it really helps you develop your musicality. We have in the Torah also concerts. Concerts where we become, we have a glimpse of the end result, which is that we are standing in front of God. Guess when we have concerts like that? Guess when's the biggest concert of the year? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. I really had a hard time appreciating Rosh Hashanah, I have to tell you. Now I understand it perfectly. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a day to coronate God. It's to do those things which are the simple goal, but we're so far away from in reality. So we get a glimpse of what it means to experience that end goal. God makes it very easy. Rosh Hashanah has its structure and its mood. And we get a glimpse of what that ultimate... If we didn't have Rosh Hashanah, then all the other parts of the year would just be like playing different parts of the music without tying it together. So Rosh Hashanah is extremely important. I appreciate it now for the first time. But it's after, you know, it's a time to revel in the music. Again, if that's the piece that you're learning, you're going to love that concert. Then you're going to go home and you're going to practice better. So Rosh Hashanah is a time to get the goal in mind and then go home and practice. And then go back to Torah, go back to Zahirus. And, you know, there are people in this world that love music, but they say, okay, I like music, but why do I have to listen to Beethoven or Schumann? I like the Beatles. I like the Rolling Stones. That's also good music. Okay, to each his own. But, well, speaking to a mature audience here. To each his own, but we all know that that's not the same caliber music. My friends, there are people that say, I want to be like Abraham. I want to stand before God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go out into a forest and meditate. And then I'm going to be like Abraham. That's not the real music. That's not the score. That's not Beethoven. Again, it's only a parable. There's one God. Like Masil Sherm says, if the doctor says, this is your condition and this is your prescription, thanks, doc. Thanks for the diagnosis. I've got a better medicine. I'm going to take that one. It's going to get better. You got to take the medicine that the doctor prescribed. Hashem says, this is the goal, and this is how you get there. These are the notes. If you do something else, you'll have some other semblance of music. It's not as good. And how do we wrap this up? After all that, we now understand that there's really two aspects. Just as the Torah says, there's two different points of view. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you is not so distant. Some say that refers to returning to God, and some say that says that's studying Torah. So we say, those sound like two totally different ideas. No. One is talking about the goal, and one is talking about the means. And both of them are within your reach. Both of them are within your reach. Yes, you could study Torah. You have the tools. You could learn how to play. And by the way, there's no... The beautiful thing is that Hashem knows you. And He knows your capabilities. It's not like any other teacher. The problem with music is that you're always comparing yourself to someone else. Am I on the level? Am I on... That's where the parable falls short. It's between you and God. And only God knows when you've reached your potential. He gave you a certain set of circumstances, but you still follow. You still follow the notes. Still follow, learn those pieces. If one student makes it to level 3, that to God is that person's a maestro. Somebody else he expects to reach level 10. So that's why the Torah can say it's not distant from you. The goal is within your reach, and the means are within your reach. But just remember, this is the means to the goal. Mesilas Yesharim is very specific. It's not just one man's opinion. You know, you can express it this way or that way, but by and large, this is the truth. If you want to reach the goal is as simple as standing before God in full cognizance. The reason why it's not simple in practice, and I didn't really explain this, but Rabbi Luzzatto says that, because you might say, why is it so difficult? What's one simple fact? He says, because in the chapter 24, it is not etched into our mind. That's why. We are people of senses. So things which are sensual are very, very real and clear. We know how something looks. We know how something tastes. We know how something feels. We know how we feel. We feel our emotions very strongly. And then you tell me that there is a God in the world who sees all and knows all. Well, that's great, but that is just an abstract thought. I have absolutely no sensory support for that fact. And therefore, it'll go in one ear and out the other. And even if I get it in a second, the next second I'll forget about it. Therefore, the task is, the reason why we have to practice, the reason why we have to play all these notes, is because we have to somehow make an impression, this is what the Musar masters teach, make an impression that is drilled in and makes an indelible imprint on our minds and on our hearts and on our psyche, and that takes practice, 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 practice. That's the only way. That's how a patriarch can go through life and make all those trips and speak to all those people and still, that's the wisdom here. When the Vilna Gaon says that the patriarchs placed God before me always, that means always. When I'm taking a shower, when I'm doing business, when I'm eating, when I'm having family life, when I'm going through a crisis, always God is before me. That's a trick. Try to do that. A chassid, the level of chassidus, conjures up the image that he's standing before God when he's praying. That's a high level. But a yarei chet, one who fears sin, or even more, the next level, the holy person, knows that God is before him always. Like King David. And he went to war. Always. Abraham. Yitzhak. That's why it's difficult. Because you're talking about having the mental impression, the knowledge of the abstract, as real, even more real, than what our senses are communicating to us constantly. That is why it takes practice. But it's within our reach. We have the tools, we have the notes, we have the teachers. And that's the way. Mesilas Yesharim.
Bravo.
And for an encore.
Thank you. Fear of sin or fear of heaven, or are they the same?
So, Rabbi Luzzatto says that, he says, first of all, he says, what a lot of people call fear, he says, that's easy to attain. That's what's called the fear of punishment. He says that's very easy to attain because that basically is a self-preservation technique. It's totally driven by the selfish motive. In other words, I was taught that God will strike me down if I don't follow his laws. Therefore, I'm gonna follow his laws. He says It'll work. It'll work. It's like the student who will play the right notes because he knows that if he doesn't, the teacher is going to slap him on the hand with the ruler, which they don't do anymore. But he's not a musician. So then there's something on a higher end called Yiras Haromimus, fear of the divine majesty. And that translates into fear of sin. In other words, first I fear, which means I am in full awareness of the presence of God, and therefore I don't want to do anything against His will. So you have to first have the Yiras Haromimus, and then the Yiras Chet. Those are two. If you read chapter 24, you will see him describing those terms. But it is as difficult as it is to play a symphony. Really, even though it seems simple.
Shabbat
for you.